Hello, and welcome to Florida Capital Tea. My name is Anna Marie, and today I'm sitting down with Bobby Nahum. And we're going to be discussing the Leon County school tracts today, the history behind them, and why did they even close in the first place? Before we get started with that, though, this episode will be published on September 6th. And this past week, on September 2nd, the City Commission decided their new city manager, which is going to be Karen Jumenville. If you want to go back and rewatch that meeting, you can find it on the city's website or their YouTube channel. We also posted, our team posted a special interview piece with the families involved with the Julie Lawson investigation. We did discover that there might be a little bit more of a district-wide issue there. I encourage you to go back and watch that interview as well. You ready to get into it?
Yep, let's awesome. Do it.
So we're kind of wanting to talk about like the tracks with the Leon County Schools. What happened with that? Were they always open?
So the tracks, as long as I can remember, were always open to the public. So I am a fourth generation Tallahassean. I grew up right over by Leon High School. And I can remember going to Leon's track as far back as when I was 4 years old, you know, wow. Back in the late 80s. So it was always a big part of my life, just going down there, you know, running around the track, playing on the fields. They used to have basketball courts and everything down there. So, you know, it was a big part of my childhood growing up. As I got a little bit older and got into sports, I used to use the track more so for training. I got into playing football when I was pretty young, tackle football when I was about 10 years old. So it would help me to get ready for the season to go down there and run in the track in the summertime before the season started in the fall. Kind of did the same thing a little bit for baseball too, training in the off season before because I played baseball when I was younger. And then, as I got older and I started getting into high school sports, I played three sports. I played football in the fall, wrestling in the winter, and then weightlifting in the spring. So
you were busy.
I was busy. Yeah. And I had to stay in shape year round. And not only did I have to stay in shape, but I had to keep my weight down because wrestling and weightlifting were two sports that were, there's weight classes. So, and I was often cutting weight, especially earlier in high school. So I was always down there running, and it was never a big deal. It was just part of the community. I remember actually the coaches at Leon back then used to always talk to me and my friends when we were down there, and they were funny. They'd always try to recruit us and tell us, "Hey, you got to come out for football when you come here." So it was a very, very welcoming experience. Never felt like, you know, we shouldn't be there or whatever. And me and my friends also used to go down there on Saturday mornings in high school and play pickup football games all the time. And that was, no one really cared that we used to do that too.
I feel like that's like kind of what community is about too. It's like having this like hub where everybody kind of meets together. And then it's like, you know the coaches, they're always there.
Yep. Yeah. And interestingly, so Riley Bell, who's the assistant principal at Leon, actually grew up with him playing football, and he's one of the people that's obviously kind of against opening the tracks now. But interestingly, he used to play pickup football games with us down there at Leon. So
so he got the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up at getting the benefits of the track and getting that community too of like meeting with everybody and having that accountability too as a kid.
Yep. And there was never any problems with public access that I could ever think of. As far back as I can remember, you know, both as a kid and as an adult, because I've been running at the track. Probably when I was 19 or so, I started a routine. Every Sunday I'd go out there and do a sprint workout. So, and I've been doing that for, like I said, since I was 19, I'm 41 now. So, over 20 years. But both as a kid and as an adult, we never saw any issues. You know, people never damaged the facilities and people never misused the facilities. I've never seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
So, and yes, it's true. I'm not there all the time, but you would think that over, a 35-year period, if people were misusing the track, I would have, or the facilities fields, whatever, that I would have seen it. And I've talked to a lot of people who use the facilities down there, and they've told me the same thing. They're like, yeah, we've never seen anybody mess up the facilities down there, when we've been down there. So
So what is all this? I know a few weeks ago there's these pictures that were put out and the video evidence of the tracks being, vandalized. There's all these narratives at the school board meeting. They were talking about these narratives of like people were urinating or dogs were pooping. Like, what do you know? Do you have any information on that? Like, what
Yes, I
happened with
do.
that?
Yeah, so there right after the tracks closed, it happened all of a sudden. So all of a sudden there was a lot of people that were not happy about it. So I think the school board and the superintendent were kind of getting flooded with emails. So they put out a narrative, which was their reason for closing the track. And that narrative consisted of a couple things. First of all, they were saying the main one was that they said that there was somebody that damaged the track, caused a lot of damage to the track by using a weighted sled and pulling weight. The way that it was described was they were pulling weights on the track
Yeah.
and ripping up the track.
Because
So
in my
that.
mind, I saw it as like, those big weights, and then someone just tied a rope to it or something. That's how I imagined it when I heard it.
Well, that's how it was described, pretty much. So that was the main thing. The other thing that they had cited was they had said that people were like, the bathrooms were locked, so they would just urinate on the sides of the buildings. That was one thing. And I think there was a claim made that, somebody's walking their dog down there and the dog went to the bathroom on the track, basically. So those were the claims. So I heard that, and I had been using the track up to the point of closure, and I hadn't seen any damage to the track. So I thought that those claims seemed a little weird. So I reached out to the school board. I reached out to the superintendent. We ended up getting a hold of, well, we ended up speaking at the school board first, and then we started communication with some of the school board members. Specifically, Alva Smith reached out to us and she sent us some photos. So in those photos, there was a picture of some cracks in the track, which to me did not look at all like damage caused by anything like weights being pulled on the track. But they had also claimed, all right, there was people down there that were u for profit businesses using the track for for business related purposes, for training people and getting paid to do it. So they had sent a screenshot of a gentleman who was advertising his business for training at Leon's track, and it said something like, be there at Leon's track, 7 a.m. this date, whatever. So I noticed it had the guy's name. So I it was and it was a Facebook post. So I said, let me look this guy up. So I looked him up on Facebook, found his name, ended up finding his business website, ended up finding his contact information.
Oh,
So
wow.
I reached out to him. He's a former coach at Rickards, and I won't say his name out of respect, but former coach at Rickards, former Rickards high school student, former athlete. So I was like, all right, let me give this guy a call. So I ended up sending him an email, and he emailed me back and said, hey, yeah, I'll give you a call. So we exchanged phone numbers and we ended up connecting over the phone. And he told me about the truth about what's going on. And I told him, I said, hey, there are these, claims out there being made about you that you were down there training people, pulling weights on the track, and you caused a bunch of damage to the track. And he just kind of laughed when I told him that. And he said, no, it's not true. He's like, yes, we were pulling weights on the track, but we were using a sled that's designed to pull weights
Okay.
on a track. And he told me the brand. I looked it up.
So a sled is kind of something that you put the weights on top of?
Yeah, so it's an
Okay.
athletic training sled. So basically, it's like a it's metal on the bottom, but it's smooth and it's curved upwards. So
Okay.
there's nothing that could grab the track or catch any
Are
catch
they,
the track.
is it designed for track?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
If you go on the website, it specifically says it's designed for track, turf, grass, or any other athletic training surface.
Okay.
That's what it says. So I said, all right, that makes sense. And he also mentioned something interesting. He's like, I know those cracks. It's because I sent him a photo of those cracks that, yeah. that they were saying that he caused the damage. And he was like, yeah, if you look at where those cracks are on the track, it's not even where we were pulling the sled. It's on the curve of the track. We were pulling the sleds on the straightaway. And he's like, and those aren't caused by damage from us or anybody anyway. They're weather related. You know, it's weather related damage. So that was what was going on. And what he was saying sounded true. And it was consistent with what I had seen. I knew where those cracks were when I saw the pictures that Alva Smith sent me. And I was like, those aren't caused by anybody. I know, you know. So after that, what we decided is I decided, all right, well, I'll talk to Riley Bell about this. Because Riley, after we first spoke at the school board meeting back in early July, Riley had called me, the assistant principal at Leon. And he was like, hey, you know, I saw you speak. I know this is coming up again about the track. So why don't you come in and we'll talk about what's going on. So I agreed. And me and Quinn Brumfield, the other guy that's helping us out and speaking at the school board meetings with me to get the tracks back, but we met Riley. And anyway, we talked about a bunch of stuff. But one of the things I asked him was, I said, hey, this picture right here, Alva Smith sent this to us saying that, you know, people were causing damage to the track and this was caused by somebody pulling weights on the track. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that's not from any damage that anybody caused. That's actually from
wear and tear.
It's weather over, you know.
Do you know how old the track
is? The track is 2026 now. The track was redone in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. 2003. Yes. 2003. So almost, I think it was the end of 2023. It's almost 23 years old.
Wow.
Yep. And that was actually when I was a senior at Leon. And I remember why it got redone. It got redone. It was old at the time, but what expedited them redoing it was there was a rivalry between Leon and Lincoln. Hmm. There still is. And some of the Lincoln students set fire to our track and burned it. And that's why they didn't. So it's an old track. It's been, it's probably, I don't know what the technical lifespan of a track is, but I would say that 23 years, it's probably overdue for resurfacing.
Yeah. 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 I feel like that's a pretty, probably a good lifespan for a track.
Great lifespan. I mean,
it's right there in the sun too. Yep. There's not any shade. So it's really just getting direct weather on it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And yeah, no trees around. And, you know, one thing I'd like to mention is that, you know, from 2003 to 2020, almost 17 years, the track was open to the public. And despite that, and then it was open to the public again for short periods of time in 2023 and again in 2025.
Yeah.
In early 2026. So the vast majority of the time that track has been around, it's been open to the public. And it's in pretty good shape for 23 years old.
Yeah.
Despite that.
And so because I've been following this for some time, and I was watching the meeting for the school board, and they mentioned, I guess, that the Childs principal, he hasn't reported any damage at his track, because he said, I guess, explicitly that the repairs that are being done there were just already scheduled repairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's there's really not been a history on any of the tracks of any damage, even the ones like Childs that was open that you think, you know, maybe they would have some damage too if it was.
Yeah, not that we're aware of, not that I'm aware of, and again, not anything beyond normal wear and tear.
Yeah.
Normal use. Yeah.
And I feel like too, because like I said, when I was talking to a lot of you guys a few years ago about this, maybe a year or so, there's always one of y'all out there at these tracks, because there's literally like, it's a community.
Yep.
And I just remember talking about how like we would have like elderly people come out to use the tracks.
Yep.
There was always parents, they'd have their kids out there using the tracks because it was great. They could watch their kids while also getting exercise. And so I'm just thinking about like how many eyes are kind of on it. I think the school has a 24/7 security monitoring system too. Are they not able to monitor it? I mean, I don't know what all.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So going back to your first point, yes. people, members of the public being down there is good for security purposes. It provides eyes on the street, per se.
Yeah.
The more members of the public you have there using the track at off hours, the less likely there's going to be mischief mm-hmm. down there. So, and get off topic for a second, but there was actually a report done by Joint Shared Use Task Force, which was a group of people that consisted of members of members from school boards around the state of Florida. There was members of the Department of Health, members of various recreational organizations from around the state that were convened by the legislature to come together to study the benefits of the public having access to school facilities such as tracks. And that was in their report. They cited multiple benefits, including health benefits and a sense of community and community pride. But one of the things that they also talked about was that that very thing that we were just talking about, is that whenever you have members of the public using these public facilities at schools after hours, it leads to less vandalism, less damage, because really? You have more people down there. Yeah. So, So this is the opinion of, not just my opinion. This is people that are smarter than me about this that believe that. But the other point, the district security center. So Leon County Schools has what's called the district security center. It's a big security center over off West Tharp Street. And it was started with grant money in 2010. I guess the state, I haven't done full research on the origins of it totally, but I have looked into a little bit. And I'm guessing it probably had to do with, reaction to probably school shootings and things like that originally. And they wanted to provide more security in the school. So they got state, the district security center was funded with state money.
Okay.
And now I believe it's operated on an annual basis with, the normal operating budget. But they've got a really great facility and operation over there that provides 24-hour, 7 days a week security.
So and don't do anything.
Yep. And I talked with the guy that runs it over there, Jimmy Williams, I believe is his name. We had a good conversation, but. They've got almost 3,000 security cameras district-wide, almost 3,000, and they can monitor all. They monitor all the school facilities. They've got fire alarms. They've got smoke alarms. They've got burglar alarms. They even have the ability to monitor the temperature in the refrigerators and the freezers.
Stop it.
There, because
it's a food safety.
It's a food safety thing. If the refrigerators go out, you're going to have a whole bunch of food that's spoiled. So they monitor all these things, and they have a dispatch center that is 24/7. They have a security team that's there 24/7, and they're in direct communication with both Leon County Sheriff's Office and Tallahassee Police Department. So if something were to happen at the track, or somebody was doing something at these schools where the tracks are after hours that they shouldn't be doing, they have the ability to deal with it. Okay. I was out there running on the track one time, and there were some kids that were playing football on the turf field, and you're not supposed to be on the turf field. You can be on the track, but not the turf field. And when I was running around the track, I heard somebody come on the speaker, and they said, "You need to get off the turf fields or we're going to call the police." And I asked Mr. Williams about that, and he was like, "Yeah, that was us, District Security Center. We saw what was going on. We told them to get off the field." So this whole, and that's important, because one of the reasons we got for them saying, "Oh, we have to close the tracks," is, the assistant principal at Leon was telling me that, I get a call on a Saturday morning when I'm with my family or whatever, that people are on the field, and I got to drop what I'm doing, and I've got to go over there and deal with it. And it's not practical for me to be able to have to do that.
So understandable.
It is understandable. And as a father and, a husband, I get it. You having that alone time off outside of work with your family is important. So I brought that up to the head of the district security center, Mr. Williams, and I told him what Riley, the assistant principal, Leon had told me. And he's like, "Well, we have the ability basically to deal with this stuff. So if any of the administration at Leon or any of the other high schools for that matter were to get a call that something was going on at the field where these tracks are, or somewhere on campus where the tracks are, they could just call us, call our number, and we would take the football and run with it and deal with it. They don't have to deal with it if they don't want to." So that's important, because that
It
discredits.
relieves that, right?
Yes,
Because
correct.
it's kind of like, well, you don't have to be going up
That's
there.
right. So that takes care of one of their main objections that they had
Yeah.
told us is a reason for closing the tracks.
And that's actually a really good objection, but if it doesn't have any water because now we have the security center, then it's kind of, let's move past that objection then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
So you mentioned something too about the turfs, the turf fields. And whenever I was first learning about the tracks, I was under the impression that the turfs may have something to do with the closure of the
Oh yeah,
tracks.
the
Okay.
turfs, the turf fields. We in our group we refer to the turf fields as the original sin of the
That's
track
a
closures,
good
because that's they. It really is,
Yeah.
and at the end of the day, we still think that it's all really about the turf fields. That's why
Yeah.
they're really, because all these other excuses they give us, they like the, like what Riley told us, none of them hold water.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to the turf field. So in 2018, I believe it was, they started having this talk about, hey, we're spending all this money on maintenance of the grass and at all these fields, and it's the five high schools plus Gene Cox Stadium, because I believe that that's somehow tied into the school budget too, Gene Cox. So they got the idea that, well, if we transition from grass to turf fields, it's going to save us a bunch of money, because we're not going to have to pay, we're not going to have to pay money for grass upkeep and fertilizer and weed killer and all this stuff. But the other component too of it was, we're getting more sports now than we used to have. We have more sports. We have more girl sports. So the fields are getting more use. So and the grass, especially in the winter, when we're not in the season where grass is growing a lot, the fields kind of get
Muddy.
muddy and sandy, and it's not an ideal place for playing sports. It's not an ideal surface at that point. So they were saying, well, let's just transition to these turf fields. But the big sell point, or one of the big sell points, was the cost savings. And it was a whole big thing about we're going to save a bunch of money. And this started back in, me and Mark Weeks started looking into this in 2023. At that point, we were already a few years past when the decision for the turf fields were made. But in 2019, the vote was made to pass, the school board voted on installing the turf fields. So the turf fields, the first one that got installed was Childs. That was in 2019. The next one was at Leon in Lincoln and Rickards, and the last one was at Godby. The schools closed down for COVID sometime around March, April. It was in the spring of 2020. And also what happened is all the gyms closed at that time. So I was down at Leon running and using, not only running at the track, but they have some pull-up bars and in the stadium. So I was down there regularly using it, and I noticed that they were putting up a bunch of fencing down there. And I thought, all right, well, I knew about the turf fields at that point. So I was like, all right, well, they're going to put up fencing. I thought they were going to put up fencing around the outside of the field on the inside of the track.
Yeah.
And then I noticed they were putting fencing up around the outside of the track. And I thought, well, that's really weird. Why would they be putting up fencing on the outside of the track? And later came to find out they were closing the public off from the tracks
Tracks.
completely. And the reason is they didn't want people in the turf fields. Now, they never told anybody that they were, when they were making this pitch that, hey, we're going to transition to turf fields, it was never brought up that we're going to close the public off of the tracks as a result of installing these turf fields.
Yeah.
But it was made very clear to me that the reason we're in 2020, that the reason we are closing these tracks is we cannot have people in the turf fields. That was the reason.
So could they put a fence? Is there a reason they can't put a fence around just
the There field? Is no logical reason why they cannot put a fence on the inside of the track around the turf fields and then put up signs on the fence saying stay off
the
track or off the fields. Yeah. There's no reason. And that used to be when they had, when I was in high school and ever since before that, that's what they had at all five high schools, is they had a fence on the inside of the track around the fields, and they had gates at mm-hmm. each end zone, and they had a gate at the 50-yard line on both sides.
Yeah.
So, and I brought that up to the school board multiple times that could be something that they could do, and they've just pretty much brushed it off, and they've given me silly excuses like I'm not even gonna get into them, but they've just given me really dumb excuses that don't make any sense on why they can't do that.
Right. And I mean, I feel like you're kind of trying to make a compromise, right? It's understandable. Yeah. You paid a lot of money for the turf fields. Yep. Kids can't go on it. I think there was some damage to one of the turf fields when it was first installed that they had to repair.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. And I don't know what caused that, but I believe that is the case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I know that was expensive. Mm-hmm. And you did an article, it was a few years ago, on the cost of the turf fields. Because yeah. I remember reading that, and yeah. I mean,
something I'm very passionate about.
but the cost didn't really like work out in their favor.
Not at all.
Like by the end of the article, you explained pretty clearly how much it actually ends up costing to keep these fields versus just paying for someone to come out and mow them.
Correct. So before I get into that, I went to school for I got a degree in accounting and a degree in finance. I sell real estate now, but that's what my degrees are in. And accounting, they teach you, you're actually taught. It's one of the few degrees in the business school that's actually, it's basically like a trade where they train you. They actually train you to create financial statements. They train you to audit. So I know how to do that stuff. So the first thing, you know, when I first learned about the turf fields, and me and Mark started really getting into this stuff in 2023, I was very curious. I didn't go into it with any, you know, presupposed ideas. Mm-hmm. I just thought to myself, well, I wonder if these turf fields really do save money. Yeah. So the first thing I did was I went to the public records and I did a public records request, and I thought, all right, they're promoting these as like cost save. There's got to be, they had to have done, it's a $10 million. When you include Gene Cox, it's $10 million, $8.5 million for just the high schools. They've got to have done some sort of financial analysis. Because in business, whenever you have a huge capital outlay like that, if you're a corporation, you have to have a financial analysis that's going to be done, because it's got to make sense, and you got to make sure that you know it makes sense. So I did records requests asking, all right, what was the cost analysis, cost, you know, that was done? Send that to me. Found out they never did one. So I thought, you got to be kidding me. So I thought, all right, well, I can do a cost analysis.
How do they not even do a cost analysis?
I don't know. It's my opinion. I think that the school board was just willing, they got pitched on the idea by the athletic director at the time, which was Ricky Bell. He was the one that was really pitching hard for the idea.
Okay.
And I think they just took him at his word, and they just thought, all right, it sounds good to me. Let's do it. And I think Hannah probably the same thing, and they just never pushed the idea hard. But all right, I said, all right, well, they don't have a cost. Let me see if I can get the information that I need to do one. So that's what I did, and that began about a 6-month process of me doing financial records requests. And the reason it took so long was because every time I would do one, and I would they'd send me something, it would almost lead to more questions than it did answers. Yep. So it just began this cycle of, you know, it was like I'd do a records request, and it unveil more things that seemed weird. So I'd have to do more and more records requests. So after about 6 months, I had almost all the information I needed at that point. And I had the information about the initial cost of the turf fields. I had the information about what they were spending on grass to maintain the grass, and I had the projected costs of what it was going to be to maintain the turf fields going forward. So that's all I needed, really.
Right.
And here's what we found out. They were spending about $200,000 a year, roughly, on maintenance of the grass fields at the five high schools.
Wow.
Okay. The projected maintenance of the turf fields was going to be around $30,000, $35,000 a year. So that would have been a cost savings of roughly $160,000 to $170,000 per year.
Okay.
Well, the upfront costs of the turf fields for the five high schools was about $8.5 million, roughly. Okay. The turf fields last 20 years at most. Keep that in mind before they have to redo them, okay. Which is another millions of dollars.
Which is why they also don't want the public playing on them, because it's probably going to
expedite.
Yeah.
Yes. The wear on them. That's correct. So, well, it's simple math, really. You're saving $165,000, roughly. It's an upfront cost of $8.5 million. It would take about 50 years, roughly, to recoup the costs. Well, that math doesn't math. Because if the turf fields only last 20 years and it costs, and it takes 50 years, it's in the corporate finance world, that's what's called a negative net present value. Or a negative, just a negative return on investment, basically. So it doesn't math. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So the public got duped. Not only did the claims about cost savings really not true, we also got our turf fields taken away.
Yeah.
Or our track taken away, rather. Our track use taken away.
Yeah.
So it was overall just they lied to us through blatant lies about the cost savings, and they lied through a lie of omission, I would say, about not telling us about removing track access.
And it was your article on the turf fields that had me look up kind of like the impacts of turf fields. And one of the things that I found was that in order to lay the turf field, they have to compact the ground really, really firmly in order to lay it on, because you don't want the water sitting underneath it.
Yeah.
Well, then what happens to the water? Where does it go? Right? Because it doesn't get absorbed. It's not real grass that is going to use the water. So it runs off. And one of the things that we saw was that Godby High School flooded the worst that it has ever flooded. And so you have to wonder too, obviously you can't connect it to that.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, is that a cost of these fields as well? Is that now they have to redo the drainage and they have to redo all the water and everything, because if it keeps flooding.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, at the end of the day, I think those projected annual $35,000 maintenance costs in the long run are going to end up being a lot higher than that. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think there's going to be any cost savings, hardly any, when you come down to it. Uh-huh. And then you have, ultimately, you have a surface that's not as forgiving as grass. So players, you know, it's more abrasive. So you have things like a lot more scrapes and stuff like that from falling, which is pretty minor, but it's not pleasant, that's for sure. But there's a mountain of evidence regarding ankle injuries.
I saw that.
And ACL injuries.
I saw that.
And it's even more pronounced in female athletes than it is male athletes.
Okay.
So, I mean, that the evidence about the ankle injuries and the knee injuries, there's no question. But then there's other problems with it too. It's less researched, admittedly, but there's been evidence that it has at least linked to cancers.
Wow. And it doesn't have like PFAS. Like, didn't they?
Yeah. Okay. And well, and you know, it's plastic grass, but underneath the plastic grass is ground up tire rubber.
Wow.
So you can imagine all the chemicals that are in recycled ground up tires.
Yeah.
And it was mainly in soccer goalies that were having the problem getting cancers, because they're constantly diving
to get the ball.
And they're being really exposed, their skin is, to that tire rubber. So that's another possible issue. It's less research. There's less research on that, but there is enough evidence to raise some eyebrows.
Yeah.
And have some concerns about it, at least. But at the end of the day, and you know, they one of the reasons at Leon that they said too is they said, oh, well, the drainage, you know, we have Leon floods and all that stuff. That's not true. It used to flood bad, and it does flood a little bit occasionally, but when they did Cascades Park, that whole area had a problem with flooding. It wasn't just Leon, it was the whole area. That pretty much took care of the issue at Leon. They try to say that, oh, it was the transitioning and installing the because they did install drainage systems for all these fields. That was a part of the cost. They're saying, oh, it was the drainage system that's not true. It was Cascades Park that
That
dealt with
did
the
it.
flooding at Leon, because the flooding issue stopped long before the turf fields were. They
Yeah.
were fixed in 2012, 2013 when they redid the drainage in that area.
And if I recall correctly, because I went to Leon, I mean, we called it the bowl because it would all come down and it really was in the parking lot. And you don't really see that in the parking lot, but I don't see that. Where is that, the drainage fields in the parking lot? I mean,
Yeah, I mean it was worse in the parking lot even back then than it was on the fields. I never remember the fields, at least not the main field, getting underwater. I do remember when I was a kid, when we'd have hurricanes and stuff come through and we get the outer bands and all the rain,
Yeah, if it was real heavy.
the whole bowl used to flood. But that again, that was before Cascades Park. So we haven't really had that issue. But you know, they could have installed better drainage while keeping grass too, and not putting in the turf fields, you know, and then they could have, you know, if drainage really was a problem and that was causing an issue with the grass, they could have installed better drainage. They could have used a better type of grass. There's certain grasses out there that are very durable, and they could have spent a little bit more money on better grass, you know, maintenance. Like in the winter, they could install winter rye, you know, to keep grass on the field. And there's a lot of things they could have done that they just chose not to because they really wanted the turf fields for whatever reason. I still can't really figure out why they were so gung-ho about the turf fields,
Yeah,
but
that's
they
kind of a mystery.
it is.
I've always wondered why, other than I guess there are professional football players that maybe were using it, but even in the professional football field, there's been a lot of athletes speaking out
Well,
against
the
them.
NFL Players League doesn't like turf.
Doesn't like
They're
it.
for grass.
Yeah. Because of all the injuries, right?
I think the NFL, I think they've got a union, like a players union, and the players union wants grass. Yeah, just like all the soccer players want grass, the professional soccer players.
So even whenever these kids graduate high school, they might be going on to play professional, and then they're going to have to adjust to playing, I guess, also on a real field.
Which they'll probably like.
It has a little bit more give, like you said, it's not as compacted.
And then there's also they also have an issue. They get a lot hotter than grass does.
I didn't consider that,
They actually have a whole
but
cooling system in that in those fields that they pay for. So, and if the cooling system goes bad, then the fields get super hot, like really hot, like over 100 degrees hot. I mean, and dirt grass stays like around 70 degrees all the time. So,
And that would get over 100 degrees.
yeah, easily over 100 degrees. And you're supposed to also do that. They also get over time, they can get really hard too over time. And they should be doing tests on these turf fields too to make sure that, you know, there's a certain test. I don't remember the name of it offhand, but it determines how hard the field is. And they are supposed to do those tests regularly, because if they don't, the field gets super hard, it can lead to brain damage and concussions and things like that.
And that's already an issue in football too. So now you're just compounding that those issues.
So when you add it all up, it's just, I mean, this is why we got our track access taken away, was because of these turf fields. Turf fields are horrible. They were horrible financial. They're there now though, and there's nothing we can do about it, at least until the time comes
20 years or so,
when they renew. We're about halfway into that now, or close to it. Not quite half. We're about Childs is the oldest, and that's we're
You said
7 years into that
2019,
one. 2019. So approaching the halfway point, not quite there. But yeah, we're probably at least 10 years away. And at that point, then that conversation will take place. But right now, the turf fields are there. Our focus is really mainly to get track access again.
Yeah. Well, then I feel like, I mean, at the end of the day, they might renew the tracks, and because they've already invested in going that route.
Yep.
But the, not the renew the tracks, but the fields, right? But with the tracks, if we have that open, then again, it offers it up to the public to be able to use it for the exercise. And I know whenever, because I, whenever I worked on the truck, I was a paramedic. Law enforcement would also post a lot of times close to the, all the tracks.
Yep.
So people felt safe at the tracks because they felt as if, okay, well, there's going to be usually a law enforcement officer in the parking lot. Yep. And so they felt safe even using them.
Yep.
Because of that.
Yeah. And they would. They, I remember, actually, I remember they, the Leon, they would post up at the top of the hill all the time in the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And my husband's a firefighter, and they used the Godby track for, they call it Run for the Money.
Oh,
and cool. So they would use the Godby track to get the Run for the Money. So now they have to do that out of their training center.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, but they used to be able to use, yeah, use that track for
that. That's a shame. Yeah. They had all kinds of good community uses.
Yeah.
They really did. It was, yeah, it's a real shame that they've taken that away, but we're.
So where are we at right now? Like, what is the plan moving forward? Let's say someone wants to be involved. They want to help, you know, reopen these tracks. Where are we at right now?
So where we're at right now, number one, we do have a petition. So if anybody wants to sign the petition, we would highly encourage you to do that.
And I'll put that in the comments or in the description.
Yeah. And below. you can find it by going on Google and looking up petition to reopen Leon County tracks. And it should pull up. It's a change.org petition. That's one thing you can do. The other thing that is very effective if you want to see the tracks backed open is email the school board and email Superintendent Hannah, because that's, you know, those are the people that really are in charge of making the decision. So the more people that we have out there reaching out to them, the more likely that they're going to feel the pressure to open the tracks back up. So that's where the public can help. And also, if anybody's compelled to speak at any of these school board meetings, that also helps as well.
Okay.
So, but where we're at right now, today, what we're really shooting for is we'd like to see a joint use agreement between the city of Tallahassee, and Leon County Schools, and, okay, and also the county too, because four of our high schools are in the city limits. Childs is outside the city limits. So we'd like to see a partnership with the city and the county between Leon County Schools to help facilitate public access to the tracks. The school district has cited multiple times that one of the challenges that they face is they just have a shortage of personnel that can help keep the bathrooms cleaned, having people go out there to lock the gates to the tracks in the evenings, and just, since the public's going to be using, they could use using the tracks, they could use a little bit of help from the city and the county with just regular maintenance of the tracks. So we thought, all right, why not get the city and the county on board to help out with this? It makes sense. You know, we clearly have a need for tracks in our community.
Yeah.
Clearly. It makes a lot more sense for the city and county to chip in to help out with the maintenance of our existing tracks than it does for them to build and maintain new tracks.
So that's more taxpayer dollars. And
a lot more.
We've already paid in capital outlay to the schools. So all of our taxes for capital outlay are going towards these tracks, are going towards having those. So having the city and the county duplicate those services would be a little bit redundant.
Yeah, it'd be very redundant.
Especially when they could just put the money into helping to maintain them.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
It'd be very redundant and unnecessary. And it's really the amount of resources that they would have to, you know, chip in to help out is really not much.
Yeah.
It's really not. And it's just, it's a win-win for the community. It's a win for the school board. It's a win for the city and the county because they can help offer these facilities at a very low cost. And it's just a win for the school, the community, but it's also a win. And I hadn't talked about this much. It's a real win for our local high school, middle school, and elementary school athletes. One thing that no one's really talking about that they should talk about more is that elementary school athletes, middle school athletes, they don't have any tracks. So we do have elementary school students in Leon County and middle school students in Leon mm-hmm. County who run track, who run cross country, and they need these tracks yeah. to train at. And we have other, and it's not just cross country and track, it's other athletes that could benefit from using these tracks. So they're not being served well. Those students are not being served well. Right. By opening, we could help serve them
better. And so what's the difference? Because I have seen people say, well, they can just go run in the park, right? They can just go run mm-hmm. on a trail. They can just go. What's the difference between the material on like a road outside versus mm-hmm. a track and actually being able to run on a track, especially yeah. for athletes who are training to yeah. do track?
Good question. So obviously, you know, running on concrete or asphalt is much harder on the body. Okay. So not only that, but if you're running on sidewalks, streets, then there's the safety issue too, mm-hmm. you know. So tracks provide a safe area, and they provide the material. It's rubber, basically. So it provides a very soft, cushioned surface okay. to run on. It's good on the joints, good on the knees. But if you're training specifically for track or cross country, the benefit is that it gives you an exact measured distance. And if you're training for track, there's no substitute at all, because you have to learn to train on the track because you're going to be competing on the track. So it makes sense. So for those athletes, it's a must, but it's also basically a must for most other athletes, because as a parent, I wouldn't want my kids out running on the street and running on sidewalks and stuff like that. And if you get into parks and things like that, parks are great. I have no problem with parks, but a lot of these parks are in wooded areas, not the safest place.
It's a lot of, sometimes you'll see like the roots, because we have a lot of trees. You'll mm-hmm. see the roots in the walkway and everything like that. And yes. If you're not doing trail running,
yep.
you know, I think that could cause some issues, especially for young athletes still learning how to run. I mean,
yep.
I'm, you know, an adult and I don't have good balance. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just safer and it's more practical and, you know, it's just there's no substitute for it. But right now, most of our student athletes, even our high school athletes, really can't access the track outside of formal okay. practices. So as a former high school athlete, I used to use those tracks all the time outside of normal practice or
right.
over the summer or whatever.
Lori Lawson brought that up too, right? She brought up the high school students and that she really wanted the tracks, I think.
Lori Cox?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, she did.
So she had brought that up, I thought.
Yep. Yeah, so. Lori is, Miss Cox is a, she's a former runner. She actually met her husband running at Leon.
Yeah.
Alan Cox, her husband. So her heart is really in the right place. And she's been our biggest advocate on the school board.
Okay, good.
So she was a PE teacher. So she understands the importance on how this affects young kids too.
Yeah.
You know, so her heart's in the right place and she's our biggest advocate on the school board right now. So we've been really appealing to her. We've got a couple other people on the school board that are open to the idea. I wouldn't say they're like gung-ho about it, but Alva Smith has expressed an interest. She's a former runner too. So she has expressed an openness to this. Marcus Nicholas has expressed, he likes the idea of the shared use agreement. Mm-hmm. So he's expressed, and Roseanne Wood has said that if there's a way that it could get paid for out, you know, without using allocated school funds, that she'd be open to it. And Rocky Hanna, who is, you know, he's a former athlete and he's former Tallahassee native and Leon alumni. And he has admitted that he grew up going to the track. So he seems like he's open to it, but my thought is, all right, it's your decision. You know,
yeah.
You could snap your fingers and open the track if you wanted to. So, yeah. You know, talk is cheap. So we'll see what happens, but we're operating in good faith. We're operating on the assumption that, all right, you guys said you're open to this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's keep having this conversation. And at this point, we are having that conversation, and that's still happening. And one other thing I want to talk about real quick too is that we're also appealing to the state legislature about this. Okay. So, and you've heard me, I've talked about this a lot at school board meetings. Florida Statute 1013.101 was a statute that was passed by the legislature in 2018, which called for and encouraged schools to partner with local governments to create these shared use agreements to allow and facilitate public use of school facilities such as tracks, fields, and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, but they in their legislation, you know, they cite that it's in the benefit of the public to do this, and they really lean into the public health benefits of doing this a lot. So, but what's going on throughout the state, not just in Leon County, is a lot of these school districts are ignoring this and they're closing their facilities. So,
does it say, like, is it the language in the statute? Is it like may versus should?
So it is, admittedly, it is not, there's not a lot of teeth in it.
Okay.
It's basically, we encourage this, they say, and they specifically say it is the goal of the state legislature of the state, they say, to increase the number of school districts that open their facilities for public use.
Yeah.
So it does fall short where it does not say must or shall.
Oh, okay.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to go to the state legislature and say, hey, you guys passed this law. You convene this joint task force to show why this is good for the public. And you called for this through legislation, but a lot of these school districts, including ours in Leon County, are ignoring you guys.
Yeah.
It's time to put some teeth into this legislation, and let's pass some new legislation which strengthens this. We have had some feedback from Corey Simon on this through communication between him and Ms. Cox.
Okay.
And he has said that he's going to look into getting the Department of Education to pass what was the term he used? Not a law, but I guess DOE, make it DOE policy that the school districts open these facilities for public use.
Okay.
So, and I'm guessing, I don't know this for a fact, that would somehow be tied to funding, state funding for the school districts. That would be my guess.
Which would help with Roseanne Wood's, I guess, issue with it, right? She doesn't want any funding to be taken away from students. And
correct.
So this would potentially provide more funding.
Yeah, or it would provide a threat to withholding funding if you don't do
this.
There you go.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. He hasn't explicitly told me it's tied to funding or told Ms. Cox it is at this point, but he's wanting DOE, Department of Education, to mandate that the school districts.
Yeah.
And the only control that DOE really has of these school districts is to withhold funding. So that would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the other thing. And if anybody out there wants to reach out to the city, they could reach out to the city to petition these shared use agreements, and also reach out to Allison Tant and Corey Simon here locally about, you know, them doing something as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
It's good for everybody. Who doesn't want open tracks?
You know? And I've seen some arguments against it. Obviously, there's one about, you know, well, you can't just go into a fire station and, you know, and climb on the fire trucks. Yeah. And I mean, actually, you can.
Yeah.
They are open to the public. But I do get that argument. But this is also for the benefit of the students.
Yeah.
This is the benefit for the whole community. And I do think it's a little bit different than, you know, I think someone mentioned the prison system, mm-hmm. right? You can't just go play basketball on the courts
Darryl
there.
Darryl Jones mentioned that.
Yeah, and so with that argument, the prisoners are there all the time.
Yeah.
And this is only, am I correct, it would only be whenever school's out, right?
Yeah.
So there would be no students in class during the time that it would be open
correct.
To the public.
Yes, we are specifically talking about after school and when they're not being used by the schools for practices or games.
Or games, so.
Or any school function, for that matter.
So students would come first.
Yes.
And then it would be open to everyone else.
Yeah, and I would like to that argument that, because I have heard that from multiple people. Common sense has to come into play, okay? The school tracks have been opened since at least the 1960s. So we have a long history of precedent. We don't have any precedent of members of the public using computer labs of the schools or anything like, and no one's asking for that. So to make the argument about, oh, well, taxpayer dollars pay for everything, the schools, but you can't use the classrooms, you can't use the cafeterias. Well, no duh. I mean, we're not asking for that. No one is. But we have, and it doesn't even make sense to, logistically, you couldn't, but these tracks are outside, they're easily accessible, and they sit vacant most of the time. So it's, and we have a long history of the community using them. So it's definitely much different. And, the only thing I would say to that argument is that, yes, technically what you're saying is true, but you got to insert a little bit of common sense into the equation here.
Well, and I also think that, again, the students are still coming first. If the students are in school, but it's not open to the public. If the students need it for after school activities, it's not open to the public. And so I think that if we're always centering students as like the first priority, then it's not really a concern because we all know, oh, school's in session. We can't just go up to the track field and use it.
Yeah, and we are, all of us in our group who are advocating for this, almost all of us were high school athletes. So we love high school athletes and we want our high school athletes to come first. And so we wouldn't do anything that would be to the harm of our high school athletes or somehow disenfranchise them in any way. And we were high school athletes. The tracks were open when we were high school athletes, and it didn't affect our
I never
ability.
saw anybody using it during the school days whenever I
Exactly.
was in school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a, I don't even know if the rules were posted or anything. It was just kind of known
Yeah.
that you don't use it if school's in session.
Yeah. And I mean, if somebody wandered on the track when they weren't supposed to, which was very infrequent, you'd have a coach or somebody out there tell them, hey, you can't use it, and they would leave. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. So, and again, going back to what I said earlier, we do have the district security center. So if anything like that ever did happen, the security personnel at district security center could
Could
deal with
notify
that.
someone or even know where the speakers and say
Yes,
something. Yeah,
correct.
absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on and
Yeah,
talking about this.
my pleasure.
Was there anything else that we didn't cover that?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right.
Yeah, just we'll be at the school board meeting speaking every other Tuesday for the most part, and we'll be speaking at the city commission meetings to bring this up to the city commission. So again, just any emails to the city commissioners and school board and superintendent of the schools would be a huge help to us at this point.
And the next City Commission meeting is going to be September 9th
September 9th at
at
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Or
Yep.
is that whenever y'all are planning on
We will
being
be
there?
there.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
So September 9th at 3 p.m. You can join Bobby at the City Commission meeting if you want to talk about this. If you just want to join the City Commission meeting, you can also just attend just to watch in person as well. And then on September 8th, there is the Leon County School Board meeting. They're going to be talking about the budget tax and they're going to be doing their millage hearing during that meeting as well. Our next week's discussion is with Ryan Ray. He is the Leon County Democratic Party chair, and he's representing them on the podcast. And we will be discussing major issues affecting our neighbors in Tallahassee and Leon County. All right, thank you so much.